Welcome to The Goodnight Show. I'm Shay Morrison, sleep expert and co-founder of The Goodnight Co. Join me each week for hints and tips on all things sleep. Hello and welcome back to The Goodnight Show. This is our first episode for season three. We're very excited to be starting the season with Zoe Marshall. Zoe is the creator of The Deep podcast, media personality and wife of Benji Marshall, and after years of trauma, loss and abuse, has focused her life towards rebuilding herself step by step. In today's episode, Zoe and I go through the role sleep has played in getting her back to where she is today. Zoe, welcome to the show. So happy to have you here. My first question that I love to ask people is, how did you sleep last night?
So well.
Oh, I love that.
So well. I heard my almost three-year-old stir at like, it was something rude, like 10 to 6. And my husband and I sleep in separate rooms, so I called him. I was like, Fox needs you, get up. And then I went back to sleep for another 2 hours. I had about 10 hours sleep last night.
Wow, you must have needed it. You're growing a baby.
Yeah, I am. I do, and I love my sleep anyway. Like, I feel like I'm one of those bears in a past life that just hibernates and loves to sleep.
I feel the same. And this is, you know, one of the reasons we really wanted to have you on the show is to share your story, because I know that you're a massive sleep advocate and that you really understand the benefits of prioritizing sleep. And I'm sure that you'll be able to share lots of things with our listeners about how this helps you in your day-to-day life. So the first thing I want to touch on before we move away from the topic is that you sleep in separate bedrooms to your husband.
I do. And I didn't realize why for a long time I needed that. Apart from the obvious of him being a intense snorer, like borderline sleep apnea, like he's done the test. He does have it, but he won't get the machine. And because I'm such a like passionate sleeper, it turned into me nudging him all night, him waking up all night, like no one was getting good sleep. That we decided, I mean, it kind of started with just go in the other room, you know, I need to sleep. And then it eventuated into we have our own bedrooms that we've, you know, put our touch on, and it's like mine's quite feminine and his is quite masculine. And I realized later down the track, I don't know if you know much about human design.
I do. I'm a manifesting generator.
Okay, so I'm a reflector. And for anyone listening that's looking into this, that's 1% of the population are reflectors. Yeah. They're quite rare, but they can't share a bed with anybody.
Right, really?
The energy, I'm so sensitive to energy that it is very disruptive to me. And a person that's a reflector kind of is a mirror for those around them. So they're constantly giving so much energy out. So the bed and sleep, no wonder, is so important for me, because that's my only time to recharge.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah. But there are so many benefits in it. And it's such an interesting topic for me, because I talk to people about it all the time when they ask, well, what can I do if I'm struggling to sleep in the same room as my partner? And I will say to them, whilst this may seem quite controversial, having separate rooms or starting with separate beds could be an option if you don't move out of the room. But having separate rooms, so if we go right back to, you know, ancient times, that the royal family slept in separate rooms, you know, it's not actually uncommon, and there is a reason for it, and it is to deeply rest and regenerate. This is the time for our bodies to be able to heal and repair. So we need to be able to get good sleep.
I remember reading a book by Osho, who is a sannyasin spiritual leader, and he's quite radical, and you can take what you want from him, but he has a book called Love, Freedom and Aloneness. And I remember reading in there that he thinks putting two people together in a bed to sleep is complete insanity, because you just build resentment towards each other throughout the night for reasons that you don't know. And it actually creates wedges rather than a connect, which we all think, oh my God, they're not sleeping with me. But you're not awake. There's nothing you guys can do like to make this connection. I mean, make love, connect before cuddle, do all of those things, then go into your sanctuaries and sleep. Now there's one part of that, like people don't have the space, you know, to have separate rooms. And we're dealing with this right now because we're expecting another baby and we have a 3-bedroom home with, we're all taking up the bedrooms and people are like, just have him in your room. I was like, absolutely not. Even when, this is going to sound crazy, but when I bring the baby home from the hospital, the baby sleeps in the crib in his room.
Yeah.
And he brings me the baby to feed. I know that sounds really spoiled.
No. It's what works for you.
It does. And I can't sleep.
Yeah.
I'm so highly, mother is so highly attuned to their baby that I don't sleep at all if there's a baby next to me,
And it's not selfish because you know that this is what works best for you. And as the mother, you need all of the energy to be able to mother and to provide for this baby as possible, because your husband gets to go about his day-to-day life with fairly minimal interruptions to his body, but you need that time to recuperate and regenerate.
Absolutely. So we've got some people think that I am the luckiest girl in the world, but I think we have a marriage where we have great communication and he loves that the baby will sleep with him. Yeah. He would sleep with all the children co-sleep. He would have all of them in the bed with him if he could. So I think it's understanding who is your family dynamic and how to make that work.
Absolutely. And one of the big things when it comes to so many health related wellness topics, and particularly sleep, is that it's very personalized. So not one shoe fits all. And we have to remember that whilst any advice that, that anybody's receiving, they have to then personalize that to how it's best going to work for you. And that's what you're doing. You're personalizing it because you know that this is really going to work for you.
Absolutely. And I think it won't work for everybody. I know I've got friends and their husbands and they sleep together touching all night and that's what makes them calm and what makes them feel. I think you do have to know yourself and then also come to terms with being able to communicate that. Like, are they going to be okay if I can't sleep in the same bed? You know, are they going to still feel? I think there's a lot to kind of unpack when you're looking at that, what works for you. You got to try it all out.
Try it out. And I'm not a reflector. As I said, I'm a manifesting generator, but I'm somebody who would love to sleep in their own bed. And whereas my husband loves affection, like there is no tomorrow. All he wants to do is, he says, is spoon all night, which I just kills me. And we've actually just moved and bought a new bed. So we finally have a king size bed and I love it because I have my space and my side, which I really need.
I've got a king and he has a king and there's no one in our beds as well.
I love that.
and just in summer, I could think of, and I'm pregnant and hot all the time, but I could think of nothing worse than a sticky hand on me. I would be touching me.
I know. I feel that. But
it's also, I think it's also important to say intimacy is so heightened when you don't just have to throw a leg over. Yeah. It's a lazy effort to make love. Like, it's kind of exciting to creep into someone's bed and initiate sex, you know? So things are healthy on that front.
Absolutely, which is fantastic. So Zoe, where did your sleep journey begin? Because, you know, for a lot of people that are perhaps listening to this show, they're only just really understanding that sleep is the third pillar of health, that it is really important to us. And that's why they're listening, is to get more information. So I'm always intrigued about people who really understand about it. Where did you first become interested and learn more about it?
I think it may have been about 8 years ago, because that's maybe nine. That's when I started sleeping separate from my husband. Yeah. We weren't even married then.
Yeah.
And I found caffeine and substances. I was noticing that my body would wake up say I'd had a few drinks and I wasn't like, I'm not a huge drinker. Even if I had a few drinks, I would wake up in the middle of the night, and have really bad reactions to alcohol. Or if I had had caffeine, I think I started becoming more self-aware of my body and stimulants. If I had caffeine, I was noticing when it would wear off, I would feel very achy and almost flu-like. And I was eliminating these things slowly because my sleep obviously is so important. And if you're up in the middle of the night because your liver breaks down alcohol, I think it's around 2 to 4 a.m.
Yeah,
I might be wrong slightly. Maybe but I was having this huge detox that would wake me up, and my body was having this awful reaction. I felt so sick that I didn't get back to sleep. This is pre-baby until, you know, a couple of hours later. And half of that day was a write-off. You feel so awful that I had to start kind of looking at stimulants and nutrition as one part of my sleep. And then I started to just, I think because you start to invest in it, you realize, oh my gosh, this pillow is an amazing pillow. And I have a pillow, you can only buy it in New Zealand. I've actually left one in Fiji before because I travel everywhere with it and then I have to post it back. So I bought another one as a backup because I can never not have this pillow. So I sound like a really neurotic, I mean, I am quite neurotic, but I'm a very neurotic sleeper. And so things like the pillow, things like, magnesium sprays, kind of essential oils for my sprays, for my, decompressing, telling my senses it was time in the room to decompress. Things like oral herbal drops, all of these things I was trialing, and a lot of them was giving me this beautiful ritual, which I kind of loved. And then taking things away that didn't serve a purpose and then bringing other things in. So I think, I mean, it sounds extensive, but it really isn't. That, like, once you've kind of got those things in place, I know now that I'm going to be stirred by my toddler around 6 a.m. every day, depending if I have to get up or not. I might get asleep and I might not. That means that I go and start reading my book at 9 o'clock.
Yeah.
And then, so I know it sounds intense, but I know that I'm the best me when I've slept.
And do you track your sleep at all? Do you have any tracking devices, or do you just know how you feel? Is that how you judge it?
Yeah, I used to have one, but I'm trying not to have any limiting EMFs in the bedroom.
Yeah.
So I don't have my phone in there often. If I need it, it's to check the baby monitor. But apart from that, I don't like to have it. So I've never used a tracker, but I can definitely tell in the morning. Like, sometimes I will wake up early and I'm like, this is the time to wake up, because if I go back to sleep, I'm going to just feel really heavy for the rest of the day.
Yeah.
I think there's a lot of self-awareness to it, and you have to be invested in your health. It's a priority. It's kind of like brushing your teeth. It's just something that has to be done in my life every day for me to turn up for the people that need me.
Well,
and for myself, you know.
Absolutely. And it's no different to prioritizing exercise or diet, which we all do, you know, particularly this time of year. Everybody's either, you know, detoxing. If I see one more detox, you know, course, I want to die.
And right.
People are investing their time, their energy, their money into these two areas. But the third pillar is sleep. And for some people, it probably should be their first.
It would be my first. Yeah. I would say that because I can't exercise if I haven't slept well. I'm definitely not eating well if I haven't slept well, because I feel more vulnerable. I feel like I need my comfort food. So the sleep is the thing that allows me to get up and exercise, or get up and be like, oh, we're going to eat well today.
Yeah.
So I would say that it would be my priority. And it's also the priority for my child and children sleep trained, and I know there's lots of controversy around this and people can choose to do what they want, but I saw the science behind development and brain growth with children and their need for sleep, that was at 8 weeks I began. Also, I started working ridiculously early, so I needed that. But he slept through from 8 weeks.
Yeah, I have the same. And I'm with you. That. Yeah, and it is a very controversial topic, and people are open to do whatever they want to do. Whatever works for you is the right choice. But I believe that we get exposed to routines all our lives. So when you go to kindy, you have to conform to a routine. When you go to school, you need to, you know, do routines, because this is what society is doing. And unfortunately, whether you like it or not, you have to. So sleep is the same thing. We actually do have to learn to sleep. We're not necessarily born with those skills. And so we need to help coach, you know, and provide resources for people, including babies and children.
Yeah. And I love now that I know that if he does wake, there's something wrong. It's not, he's just fussing. He just wants me to pat him on the bum. It's like, oh, what's happening? Is he teething? Is he unwell? Is he have a fever? It's a nice thing to know that when you've covered all those elements, and sometimes they're just going through developmental stuff and they just need a snuggle and a hug, and you go and you do that mum stuff, you know?
Absolutely.
And when we're on holidays, things are out of flow, and that's also okay. I think there needs to be flexibility, but it's definitely a priority, like as nutrition is with my children, that sleep is up there.
And when you do break the flow, the great thing is that because you've already set the structure, it's easy to come back to.
Oh, so easy. Yeah. So easy. And I think that people go, oh my God, it's not working for the first 2 days. That's normal too. It's just commitment.
It takes a while.
It's like us.
And this is it. And this is what we say to people is that, you know, I think a lot of people want to take the wonder drug, or they want to just take the magic pill that once and it's going to help them, but it's not. It is a commitment of your life. So if you were wanting to lose weight and get toned and, you know, all of these things, you're on an 8 to 12 to whatever month, depending on where you're at, a week journey. And it's the same with sleep. It is no different. It's not going to happen in a day or two or three. You need to make the commitment and commit to the routine of it every day.
And I can say, you know, I had had prescription sleeping tablets at times in my life, especially when I would travel and things like that. And, you know, there is the desperation of sometimes, like I know when times in my life get really heightened with work or exciting opportunities, I cannot sleep, like my brain overrides, and I would take a medication. But the impact of that, it's like the cost, there's always a payback. You might get 4 hours of medicated sleep, but the next night you're going to kind of feel a pull to have it again. And it's this thing, it's this slippery slope of becoming dependent really easily, because we know neurologically we need that to survive well. So it's been an interesting journey for me, because I've tried a lot of holistic ways, and I've tried other ways. And I think everyone will have their own exploration of that, but I just never want to become dependent on something to kind of give me that placebo sleep.
Absolutely. And it's the feeling the next day. And also, you know, supplements are there for us to get back on track. So we shouldn't even, regardless of medicated forms or whatever, but if we're looking at supplements in the more natural sense, they're not there to have to be committed to for the rest of your life. You really should be able to take them, get out of it what you need, and then be able to stop taking them.
To move on.
Yeah.
I think what I've noticed as well is exerting energy is really important to my sleep, and having enough exercise. Like I know if I've had a day in front of the computer and just smashing out work, my brain is overtired, but physically it's really hard for me to kind of clock into sleep. Whereas if I have done some form of exercise, even if that's a walk, it's so much easier to fall asleep.
And now it's time for a quick break. Are you having trouble putting your anxious thoughts to rest? Calm your worried mind with our Calm Drops. Using a combination of naturally derived ingredients, our Calm Drops have been scientifically formulated to create a sense of calm and relieve feelings of restlessness and anxiety throughout your day. Just 8 drops under the tongue when you feel stressed or anxious can help allow your mind and body to relax and for your nerves to calm. We're offering our listeners 20% off their next purchase of our Calm Drops with the discount code podcast20. Try them today, available at thegoodnightco.com.au. And it's the connection to nature. You know, it's coming back to, we need to be looking at how much time are we spending in natural sunlight, getting some really good vitamin D. Are we setting our circadian rhythm? Are we connecting with Mother Earth and touching the ground and really grounding, getting that grounding feeling? Because if we're grounded and connected, it's really going to help us sleep. The Mother Earth is there to support us. But if we're just going around inside, you know, high off the air in apartments and not coming back down, or not spending that time to really breathe deeply and just be a bit grateful, it's very hard.
Yeah, I think COVID showed us that. I think COVID really highlighted the importance of being in nature and using and moving your body when we were stuck inside.
Yeah.
And the impacts of that, there was lots of people not sleeping, you know, and of course that's worry and all of those other elements, but the more so it's like that, that saying, if you're every day meditate for 10 minutes or something, but if you're stressed or if you're busy, meditate for 20, it's that thing of like, even when you're more, I don't know, you're more upset or the mind's going, it's like even more reason to do the things to focus in on your well-being and your sleep.
Absolutely. And now, Zoe, I do want to touch, I know we don't have a huge amount of time, but I would like to touch on your podcast. You have your own podcast that I would love you to share and just have a bit of a chat about where that all started and why.
So the podcast is called The Deep. It's the elevator pitch is really hard to do because it's so obscure and unusual, but the premise is incredibly honest conversations with people you might not have heard from before. So functioning heroin addicts to conscious sex workers to someone that has overcome incredible sexual assault, survivors of domestic violence. There's a range of incredible human beings that are walking amongst us that we don't know their stories. And I'm floored in every episode. We go in deep, there's a lot of tears and there's a lot of, I think the thing that shakes up the listener the most is they have a judgment or an opinion on the person to start with, and that is completely disarmed by the end. And what we're trying to do is just create some empathy and connection. So it's been amazing. It's been the best thing I've ever done. And I feel incredibly purposeful making this work.
Oh, good. That is just so fantastic. And I've listened to some episodes, and if anybody is wanting to, just tap into really what's going on out there, like really what's going on, then have a listen to some of these episodes because it'll blow your mind. And there are, as you said, some really courageous, incredible people walking around that we don't know and their stories to share.
Yeah, it's true.
Congratulations. And one of the other things that I know that you're doing is some live events, which is really tapping into for women. So what they're called What Women Want. So I know that there's a campaign at the moment going on about criminalize coercive control. And I feel, you know, there's maybe some synergy around this conversation that's not happening or now is happening.
It's a weird time because obviously no one can attend events. And the purpose behind the events was connection. So I didn't want to do them and transfer them online. And I think, you know, sometimes you have to see what the people want. And I think that it's always going to be connection, but I'm also toying with the idea that perhaps we move the events from what women want into the deep events that can then be more inclusive and diverse. So men, trans people, we always were welcoming them, but I think the title could have been confusing.
Yeah. Okay.
So it's just kind of evolving, but I can't wait to get in the room with people. I have such big ideas on what I want to do. It's just, you know, tricky little COVID stopping us.
Waiting to see what unfolds in 2021.
Exactly. We're always going to be ready.
Yeah. Well, I'd love to know what happens there and the events. I think, you know, you're right. There is such a need for connection. So it is a challenging time with COVID because definitely in 2020, I think that's what a lot of people missed out on. So here's hoping that even if they're small intimate events, that those can happen because I think people need it.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree. I'm with you. I'll be there.
You'll be there. Well, you'll have to, we'll have to, to share it when they're there. And before you go, I really wanted to find out just quickly, you know, talking about self-care and this topic, you know, you're so in tune with really taking good care of yourself, which is so admirable and something that so many other people can really look to and understand that it's okay to be a bit selfish in that space and take the time to really, you know, if you're not looked after, then you can't actually provide for anyone else. And you're doing a great job of that. And I guess I'd love to know if you could just share some of your tips for people that are wanting to invest in their self-care routine, particularly with sleep. Where do you think they should start?
I think a little bit of self-reflection on what keeps you stimulated. Like, is it your phone? Is it blue light? Is it you're having heated conversations with family members just before bed? Like, I think everyone is so individual that it's looking at your circumstances and then going, what can I eliminate? Like, am I eating super sugary dessert? Or am I having coffee at night? Or am I having hot chocolate at night? Or whatever it is that you go, could any of those things be stimulating me if I'm really struggling with sleep? And then I think working backwards, and once you eliminate, that's when you can add, which is like, I sleep every night with like a scented, as I said, a scented spray to kind of let my senses know that it's time to chill. I have a lamp and a book, and we kind of have, I read and I wind down through reading.
Yeah.
I think that I use a lot of things, but it makes me feel cocooned. Like I use earplugs, an eye mask. I have my beautiful pillow with a silk pillowcase. So it also feels like a fun place to be, you know, it feels nice to be in bed. I feel like it's my safe place. It's my sanctuary. So, and look, those things might be a small investment up front, but you guys have all great quality products that will last you. I mean, those silk pillowcases will last you years and years and years, you know?
Yeah.
So I think once you invest in your routine and you commit to it, that's all it's going to take. And, you know, I'm rubbing my belly with a belly butter at night now, and just these small things that feel like I love myself. You're worthy of this. You're worthy of sleep. You're worthy of taking care of yourself. And I think that overflows into your real life. So I would just look at the stimulants first, and then I would backtrack into placing some really beautiful sleep hygiene and ritual before you winding down, and maybe even an earlier dinner, a bit of a walk or a stretch. Those pillars that make you feel good. You don't want your digestion busting itself while you're trying to go to bed, you know? Yeah, I think that it seems like it's pretty self-explanatory, but we are in a society where we're so consumed all the time that we don't stop and think. There are beautiful Tara Brach meditations mm-hmm. you can do, even if you just want to like release and surrender before you go to bed. If you're not into reading, there's so many ways. Just stop the eyes, stop those yeah. eyes from moving and being stimulated with all that blue light.
All the scrolling.
And the thing is, no, you're not missing out. I think we have this FOMO, but everyone else is sleeping while you're scrolling, you know?
Yeah. And it's just not doing you any favors on any levels. But I love your advice. So the self-reflection, I think, is such a beautiful place to start. You know, that is just a great summary of where take that self-reflection and unpack it, and then work out, like I said earlier, about it is such a personalized thing. So work out what works best for you.
Mm-hmm. And that's, it seems simple, but I think it does come down to a bit of self-worth stuff too. And if you feel like, no, I'm going to rebel against this, or like, I think just look at some of that stuff. You're going to be so much better for it. And some people need a lot less sleep. You know, some people need 6 hours, some people need 8 hours. I think you'll be so in tune with what works for you that you won't recognize yourself.
Absolutely. Well, thank you so much, Zoe. It's been such a pleasure to have you on with all of this beautiful advice, and can't wait to hear the news of your baby in June.
Ask me about sleeping in June.
Let's have another interview in July and see how things are going.
Oh, my God. Can I just add that I've had a baby, so I understand it, but I'm so anxious about the shock, because nothing can prepare you for that kind of lack of sleep. So absolutely. Everyone that isn't having a baby, enjoy.
Oh, I love it. And Zoe, where can people find you? I mean, I'm sure lots of people want to follow your journey. Where can they find you?
If it's on social media, it's at Zoe B. Marshall. And for the podcast, it is at What's the Deep.
Beautiful. Well, thank you so much. And we look forward to hearing all of your beautiful news.
Thank you so much. It's been a pleasure.
Thank you for listening to The Goodnight Show. If you're keen to learn more about our guests or any of the topics we've spoken about today, hop on over to the Goodnight Co. closed Facebook community group, or check us out at thegoodnightco.com.au. And if you're enjoying the show, please subscribe to us on your favorite podcast provider by searching The Goodnight Show. And if you love what you're hearing, don't forget to leave us a glowing review. Thanks, everyone.